I want you to get your Bibles out and turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 tonight is lesson number 19 on the subject of separation. Tonight we're going to talk about, from time to time, you'll hear the word cult used, C-U-L-T, cult. And we're going to talk about how God would want us to separate from cults, or, if you will, I don't know if this is proper wording, cultistic behavior. I'll show you what I think is commonly understood as to what a cult is. And then we're going to talk about how we want to stay away from that kind of behavior. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 4, I want you to find verse number 1. Stand with me, if you will, real quickly. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse number 1. The Bible says this, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." Look back at me, if you will. First of all, anytime the Spirit of God speaks, he's trying to express something strongly. But understand, when the Spirit of God speaks, it speaks and it's in communion perfectly with the Word of God. The Spirit of God will never lead anyone to do anything that is contrary to the Word of God. There are a lot of people out there that when you talk about a cult, there are people out there that they'll begin to do something or teach something or become something, and they say, "Well, the Spirit of God led me." Well, I've got news for you. You do anything contrary to the Word of God, the Spirit of God didn't lead you to do that. When the Spirit speaks, it speaks expressly. And then it talks about here that in the latter times, people start departing from the faith. And there's an element of things that are the faith. And they begin to get away from it. And they begin to give heed or give in to seducing spirits. And it talks about doctrines of devils. Now, you might say, is that talking about the doctrine about the guy in the red suit with the horns and the long tail and the pitchfork? No, it's talking about doctrines that are devilish. They're wrong, or they're against the purity of the doctrines of the Bible. Now, we're going to talk about, again, we'll just call it separation from cults. Lesson number 19 on this subject of separation. And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. God, there's not a lot of complicated things to teach about this particular subject. It's pretty well clear cut. The Scripture tells us what's right and wrong. Help us all to be on guard, that we would behave properly and believe properly. And help us, Father, that we'll be better Christians because we've come to church tonight. Please, Holy Spirit, give us a good evening as we study the book that you wrote, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When you talk about a cult, and we could list, you know, cult after cult after cult, but we're not going to do that. Usually a cult leader, someone that leads this wrong teaching, usually they claim to have received some special direction from God. They want to say that they've got some sort of a corner on the market in regard to some belief. Some say that they're the second coming of an angel or a deity or some past known religious figure. Some think that they're sent by God for a special purpose. It's funny, cult leaders will tell everyone that God spoke to them about something, but God didn't speak to anybody else about it. That's kind of odd to me. You know, God's never really spoken to me about anything other than what He's spoken to everybody else about, and He speaks to me most clearly through the Word of God. And that's real definable. That's easy to understand. When someone is leading a group of people that's cultistic, they'll use some of the Bible, but they won't use the Bible thoroughly, and that's a dangerous thing. And then they start using other books or what we would call other revelations. Cults end up majoring on what we might call minor doctrines, and then they ignore the major doctrines so many times. They take some little thing and make real big of it, And then the big things that ought to be the foundational teachings, they ignore those things. And you'll find out that cults, they can have an extremely good follow-up program where they want to get into someone's home and sit down and have home Bible studies and everything. They're trying very hard, and a lot of cults will print lots and lots of material. And they try to get that material in people's hands. And I'll tell you something else. So often, they're very careful who they invite to be a part of what we'll call their meetings. And now that's what I love about a local New Testament church. We're out there inviting everybody at random. I mean, we go to door to door to door, and if they're red, yellow, black, and white, you know, rich, poor, married, single, children, teenagers, everybody is invited to be a part. But that's not exactly how the cult and cultistic behavior is. Cults leaders usually, they want to take the place of somebody's mother, or take the place of somebody's father, or take the place of maybe a teacher or a pastor in their life, because they want to take reins or control of that life. I made a statement the other day. Well, Sunday night when I was talking about Christian school, I told everybody, I said, folks, you need to understand, it is not the government's job to educate your children. Matter of fact, it's not the Christian school's job to educate your children. It's a parent's job. And that is the exalting of the authority in the child's life. Now, cults don't do that. They try to pull the authority away from mom, and pull the authority away from dad, and pull the authority away maybe from a pastor or from a guardian, because they want the fellowship drawn to them. And so we're going to talk about, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some things that I think cults are usually guilty of. Our goal is that we always in our lives stay separated from cults, or separated from cultistic behaviors. I think that's very, very important. Now, as I said in my opening prayer, there's not a whole lot of entertainment in what I'm about to teach. I'm going to say to you, cults are known for misbehaving in this area. I'll give you a scripture. I'll say, don't do that. And then we'll go to the next area. There's not a whole lot of fancy pictures to paint here. So if you'll just stay with me, we'll talk about this important subject. First of all, I have number one. We separate from cults because the Bible is not their final or total authority. We separate. We want to stay separated from cultistic behavior because the Bible is not their final or total authority. Let me read some verses to you. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Oh, God said all scripture. We believe every word in the Bible is there for a reason, starting with the first word in the book of Genesis chapter 1 all the way to the last word in the last chapter, the last verse in the book of Revelation. All of it's important. All of it's led of God. Now, not only does 2 Timothy 3:16 strengthen us about our belief about the Bible, 2 Peter 1:21 says this, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We believe this book was written by God. We believe it's God's book. It's God's writings. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. You see, a cult, they would lead with sometimes some scripture, but that's not their prominent intent. They'll throw enough scripture in to draw someone in, but they're not real interested in the scripture. And I'll tell you this, in cults, there's a lot of emotional leading that goes on. Constantly appeal to emotion. You all have heard me say this. I often praise our church about our giving. And I say, we don't give here emotionally. We give here by principle. The Bible teaches the tithe and the offering, and so we don't wake up on Sunday morning to figure out how we feel, and then if we feel good about the church service and there was enough good music, the offering goes up. That's not how it works around here. We give because the Bible said to give, and we are generous because the Bible says to be generous. That's done by principle. It's done by scripture. But you got to understand, a cult, they don't let the Bible be their final authority. They don't want it to be their total authority. We give no apologies around here. I believe the King James Bible is the inspired, preserved Word of God. It's the final authority. And if you say anything contrary to the Bible, you're wrong. If I say anything contrary to the Bible, I'm wrong. And if anybody says anything contrary, they're wrong. And let God be true and every man a liar. And that's the end of it. Okay, but that's not the way the leader of a cult behaves. They don't want the Bible to boss them around. Well, the Bible's my boss, and whether you like it or not, the Bible's supposed to be your boss. And the church is ran on the basis of the Bible. Okay, so number two, we should separate from cults because cults lift up some leader over Jesus Christ, or over God, or over the Bible, or over the Holy Spirit. So there's a lifting up of a leader above those things. Again, let me give you some scripture. Job chapter 33, verse number 12, it says, "Behold, in this thou art not just, I will answer thee that God is greater than man. Never should any man or anything be lifted up above Jehovah God for any reason." Not even God's creation. See, there are some that worship the created over the creator. That's wrong. We are to put God first. God's always to be first. And God is to be lifted up above everything. Now, we are to make sure that Jesus is lifted up. Now, God deserves glory. And God deserves honor. And God deserves all the attention in the world. You know, Jesus is the Savior. And that Savior that came to us was God come in the flesh. Now, again, when a cult is formed, or if, and there are cults that have been around for years and years and years and years and years, almost always they have some leader that they've lifted up above the scripture, or they've lifted that leader up above Jesus, or they've lifted that leader up above God. And that's always wrong. It is always wrong. And cults aren't something new. You go all the way back into the Old Testament and the New Testament. There were religions that, if they would have had the word cult, there were religions back then that were cultistic in their behavior. They would lift up Dagon, a particular god, Belial. They would lift up above God. But a cult lifts up a man or an organization above God, and that's always wrong. Thirdly, we separate from cults because most cults believe in works salvation. Most cults believe in works salvation. Let me give you a verse, or two of them. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The Bible's very clear. We're all sinners. There's a penalty for our sin. Jesus Christ died for us, was buried for us, and resurrected for us. Salvation comes when we realize we're sinners. We turn to Him and ask Him to forgive us of our sin, to come into our heart and be our Savior. We didn't work to get it. It was given to us as a gift. And that's how we get salvation. Now, most cults believe in work salvation. That's how they keep their workforce for their organization. They teach you have to work to get to heaven. So they therefore then enlist all these people to get the work done, that is promoting the cult's, whatever the cult's purpose is, but they teach work salvation. And so you all know, work salvation sends people straight to hell. Work salvation is one of the worst, most horrible, false doctrines in the Bible. Some people don't understand. I get very upset about work salvation. Work salvation is an out-and-out lie. Work salvation is a man putting himself above Jesus Christ. Why? Jesus is the Savior. And if you think you can save yourself, you must be the Savior. And you're not. He is. He does all the saving. You say, what do? You do all the letting. You let Him save you. So I get very upset. And there's some people, they'll dabble with churches that believe you work your way to heaven and dabble with authors and preachers and ministries that believe that you can work your way to heaven. And I have to tell you, I get spiritually indignant about the whole thing because that is the worst lie and heresy that you can get yourself involved in. It goes all the way back to when with Adam and Eve, when Adam and Eve decided that they were going to sow fig leaves together to cover their sin. That was a type of work salvation. And God said, no, an animal is going to be shed and we're going to take the carcass of that animal to cover you up. We're talking about that false doctrine goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. But it's a terrible doctrine. And most cults teach a works salvation, which immediately makes them terrible to be involved in. So I said, number one, we separate from that kind of behavior because the Bible is not a final or a total authority of a cult. And then we separate from cults because cults usually lift up something or somebody above Jesus Christ. We separate from cults because cults believe in work salvation, number four. We separate from cults, or we should separate from cultistic behavior because they often pull people away from their families. If you ever studied cults, they'll pull people. They're not big on your family. Oh, they'll get real big on the cult family, but your family. Now, folks, let me tell you something. Whether your family's lost or saved, they're still your family. You say, but my I've got family members and they're lost and they don't serve God. You're still supposed to love them, and that's still part of your family, and you ought to be praying every day that they get saved and they get themselves in church. I believe that the home is such an important part of Christianity. I think marriage is an important part of Christianity. I think that young people are to be taught to honor and respect their mom and dad. I think young people are to be taught to honor and respect their grandparents. But you will find in cults, they often are more interested in what they call the cult family than your family. Can I tell you something? You need, those of you that are in this room right now, you need to keep your marriage strong. You need to keep your children strong. You need to keep your family together. That's a very big deal. And I don't think we ought to ever ignore the importance of that aspect of life. You know, God's the one that formed the family. And so, but in cults, so often, you'll find, and if you studied cults, and like I said, I'm not going to mention a bunch of cults tonight, but if you studied cults, often a cult leader wants to become like the dad of everybody. But the thing is, we have a Father, we have a Heavenly Father, and then each family has a father that is the blood father of that family, and that's how God planned it. That's God's plan, but cults minimize that. Let me go on. Number five, we separate from cults because cults often claim special revelation from God. They claim special revelation from God. Let me read to you from Revelation chapter 22, verse 18. It says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." Now, here the Bible's talking about people adding to the Scripture. Most cults start adding extra things to the Scripture. They'll take the Word of God, but then they'll add to it someone within the cult's writings. Someone within the cult's, they think there's more revelation from God. But there's not. The Bible's finished. It's done. There's no more revelation. But there, many, many cult leaders, or in a cult, they'll have additional writings and they'll have additional books, if you will, and they will put them on the same level as the Bible. There's no book out there that's on the same level as the Bible. Not one. Not written by anybody. I think there are Christians that write books and they're educational and you can learn from them, but the Bible's the only holy book. The Bible's the only perfect book. And when you go to make decisions, and I wish I could get Christians just to listen to this simple thing. A lot of you go to human authors to decide how to make decisions in your life. Why would you go to a human author to guide you on how to make a decision in life when you have a book written by God? And if you're not careful, you'll start believing what was written by a man over what was written by God. There's some of you that are preachers in here. I can't tell you how often I'll say to someone, "Well, the Bible says this," and they'll say, "But so and so wrote this in their book, and I kind of believe what they say." I'm thinking, I just told you what the Bible says. Well, what are you thinking? How have you possibly made the writings of a human being more valid, important, or guiding than the book written by God? The Bible says, "Let God be true, and every man a liar." And that doesn't mean every man, well, it does. All men are liars. But it doesn't mean that everything that man's ever written is a lie, but it is telling you God is way up here and man is way down here, and everything God wrote, you can go to the bank on it, and you better watch anything man writes. And so, but cults, they always get this extra revelation. And I could begin listing the cults and tell you about the extra books that they claim that God's given them, of what God's led them to do. And so, we separate from that behavior because they want to take and have that extra revelation, if you will. They call it a word of knowledge. A word of knowledge. They claim God spoke to them and told them something, but he didn't tell anybody else. Ex cathedra. And I could go on and on and on, and I could talk to you about the books that are additional in cults. Look, we use a songbook here at our church. But let me tell you something. That songbook, we don't get... Now, it has doctrinal teaching in it, but the songbook doesn't lead our church. The Bible does. Did you know that in our church constitution or bylaws, there's some church beliefs? Our bylaws do not lead our church. The Bible leads our church. Now, those bylaws, they're scriptural. You'll see that they are, but I'm going to tell you something. If we ever came down to it and someone said, "Well, the bylaws say this and the Bible says this," well, we're going with the Bible. Amen. We're going with the Bible. And so, there's a desire in the cult to have additional teaching that's not coming from the Bible. Number six, we separate from cults because cults will not teach the assurance of salvation. They won't teach the assurance of salvation. Let me read to you from John chapter 10, verse 27, 28, and 29. The Bible says this: "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Now, I think cults don't want to teach the security of the believer or a for sure salvation, because I think if they teach that you can lose your salvation, that is a scare tactic that keeps people involved in the cult. Listen, did you know something? If you're saved and you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you, if you're not at the Twin Rivers Baptist Church next week, you're still saved. But a cult leader said, "Boy, if you don't show up at the meeting, you'd lose your salvation." People go, "Oh, I better be there." Did you know something? You are to tithe off of your income. But if you don't tithe off your income, did you know that you're still saved? Cult leaders, they don't like to say stuff like that. And I understand why. I understand why. Because they want you to believe that you can lose your salvation, because that keeps you where they want you. Now, I'm not going to go around advertising it all the time. If you think I'm going to stand up every Sunday and say, "Well, if you don't tithe, it's okay," I'm not saying it's okay. I'm telling you, you're not going to lose your salvation over it. And so your commitment and your salvation is in the hands of Jesus Christ. And it's secure there. So, cults don't usually teach the security of the believer. They don't usually teach assurance of salvation. I've actually read materials where they say, if you don't do this and continue to do this, you could face eternal punishment for it. Well, you'll face eternal punishment if you don't get born again. That's what you'll face eternal punishment for. So, we separate from that behavior. By the way, you separate from a cult that would teach something other than the security of the believer. And number seven, you separate from cults because cults want their members to be dependent on the cult. They want them to become dependent on the cult. Now, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7 says this, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now, when it says casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you, that word all there means all. Now, a cult wants you to be dependent on the cult. The right kind of a church wants you to be dependent on Jesus Christ. Wants you to be dependent on God. Wants you to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you all something. It's a wonderful thing that we have a church family. It's a wonderful thing that a church family pulls together and helps each other and we try to meet each other's needs. But I want everybody here to understand if for some reason this church has ever helped you, you better thank God for it because it was God that helped you through this church. It wasn't, hey, listen, I'm glad I've got a God, and I'm glad I have you, and I'm glad I have friends, but I've got news for you. I know where my bread's buttered. It is buttered by Almighty God. And folks, be careful. Don't become so... Now, the local New Testament church is of God. God created it. It's what God wanted. But God never intended for this organization to take the place of your relationship with Almighty God. And there are churches out there that want people connected to the church, but they've left God out of the equation. He's supposed to be at the top of the totem pole. I think we ought to be dependent on God. I think we ought to be dependent on Jesus Christ. I think we ought to be dependent on the Bible. I think we ought to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. And I believe that God forms governments. And now when we get to heaven, we're going to have a kingdom. There won't be a democracy, and we won't have to worry about finding Supreme Court justices. We'll have a justice, God. And I believe that a democracy is, it can be a wonderful form of government until we get the purest form, which will be a kingdom, and that will only be pure once it's under the command of our true pure King, Jesus Christ. But I will tell you this, I'm not an anarchist against all forms of organized government, but I will tell you this, there's way too many people that have let the government become their God. God's got to be, and they want their God to meet their needs. Your God is Jehovah God. And you need to make sure that you remember that. So, we separate from cults, or we should stay separate from those things that, if we become more dependent on that organization than we are the, hey, I think we're to be dependent on the New Testament church, but we're to be dependent on the God of the New Testament church. Then, I think number eight, we separate from cults because cult leaders, they try to make themselves out to be sinless or perfect. But you know, the Bible says in 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If you looked and studied some of the cults of history, the leader tries to make themselves as if they're sinless, that they never make mistakes or they never go against God. Now, the Bible's pretty clear. The Bible says if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. I wonder if not every day of my life I do not quote to someone Romans 3:10 and Romans 3:23. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. And for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Whether it's a pastor, whether it's a leader of any sort, they're sinners. There's only one that was not a sinner that walked the face of this earth, and that was Jesus Christ. But so many times, cult leaders, they want to make themselves out to be perfect. They want to make themselves out as if they're not sinful. They have infallible testimonies. And, if you will, they're really trying to take the place of God, or the Bible, or Jesus Christ, or the Holy Spirit in someone's life. So there's bound to be a lot of pride and vanity evident in that behavior. Let me go on. Number nine, we separate from cults or cultistic behavior because many cults deny the deity of Jesus Christ. A lot of cults will they'll admit there was a Jesus. They'll admit that He was a spiritual person, but they do not want to admit He was God come in the flesh. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 3 says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know ye that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Look, if an organization, if a group, if a leader will not admit that Jesus Christ was the sinless Son of God, we've got a really big problem. Jesus is always to be exalted. Jesus was God come in the flesh. The word Emmanuel, that means God with us. But you look at what we would call some of the religions of the day, and you might not know on the surface, but many of them will not tell you that Jesus was God's Son. He was God come in the flesh. And so many cults are that doctrine is one that they deny that part. Let me go on, number 10. We separate from cults because cults won't teach or preach the whole counsel of God. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20, verse 27, For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. So what they'll do is they'll take Bible verses and use just enough of it to entice someone into their organization. And then they don't teach all the other verses that are pertinent to Christian growth. They don't teach the doctrines of the Bible. And usually a cult has a few primary teachings, and those become important, and everything else is dismissed or it's eliminated from their thinking. So when the Bible talks about the whole counsel of God, it's saying that, boy, we need to let the Bible be our guide, and in all aspects of life. You know, I think that you and I are to handle our finances according to the Word of God. I think we're to handle the rearing of our children according to the Word of God. I think we're to handle our social involvement according to the Word of God. I think we're to handle the way we treat our bodies according to the Word of God. I think your marriage ought to be based on the Word of God. I think the way that you work at your job ought to be based on the Word of God. I believe that the way that you treat people ought to be based on the Word of God. I think it's all supposed to be based on the Word of God. I think God has something to say about everything. Now, but what will happen with a cult or the leader of a cult, they'll pick what they think is important. That's what they'll teach, and they'll ignore everything else. And they capitalize big on things that probably are not big at all. And most of the time, it's erroneous teaching. I've got a couple more points. Let me move quickly. Number 11. We separate from cults because cults teach that by giving gifts to God, that you can get special blessings or you can purchase heaven. Now, a lot of cults will take money, and they will use money. I hope you understand there are organizations out there that teach you have to give money to be saved. Well, that's wrong. They'll talk about the tithe, but the tithe will become a part of the works salvation, and if you don't tithe, you can't go to heaven. You understand? You can watch some of your wackos on television. They'll say, send me some seed money and I can make sure your business gets blessed. Well, it may be that if you give right, God will bless your business. But if your whole television show is based on that one hook, I got a problem with that. Oh, but that's what they'll teach. Did you know, folks, you can't buy heaven? You can't buy wisdom. You can't buy leadership. I'll tell you this also. You can't buy God's blessing if you're living like an animal and in the flesh and you think you can give money and that money will buy you into God's favor so you can continue to live like an animal. That didn't work that way. The blessing of God is not for sale. Now, I think people can give and I think God will bless giving. But that's because someone is sincerely trying to serve God and their intent is sincere and is pure and it's right. But most cults, they try to convince people that they must give, and they really work them about their money continuously. And then they want to convince them that, well, you're going to buy your way into heaven, you're going to buy certain blessing. Do you understand there are cults out there that actually tell people if you'll give money, you'll get healed. Haven't you ever seen it? You ever watch it? I won't mention names. I had two teenage boys that were in my youth department years and years and years ago. They came into church one Sunday and they were just tickled to death with themselves. They had gone to some meeting and there was a faith healer there. And they said, we had so much fun. Said, we stood up and started rambling and acting like idiots. And everybody said, they've got it. They've got it. And they're thinking, well, we got it all right. And they said, they just, everything we did, hook, line, and sinker, we put on a show. And everybody just thought that God was all over us. Now, I told the boys they should have never done that without recording it so the rest of us could see it. No, I said, you guys should have never done that. You don't go to meetings like that and play with things like that. But it was all a big joke. And everybody was totally convinced, those boys that were as phony as a $10 bill in that particular setting, they were just mocking it. Folks, you can't buy the blessing of God and you can't buy a healing. Okay, let me go on. We separate from cults just because sometimes they have just flat out weird behaviors and beliefs. Let me read to you from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. The Bible says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. Then the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, can I recommend something to you? If anybody ever comes up with some new doctrine, you want to be real, real careful. You all do understand there is no new doctrine. Now, there are some things that you have not learned that you might learn. I got to apologize. I don't have anything really new to give you. I'm going on 37,000 sermons. The list of topics from which to pick, there's nothing new. You say, well, Pastor, you talk about salvation all the time. I know, it's in the Bible all the time. Yeah. See, always talking about Jesus. I know. It's the topic. I can't. There's not a whole lot of new stuff out there. Yeah. Now there's, you know, we learn a little more about the same old thing. And for some of you, you've been being preached to about the same old thing, but you've never paid any attention. Maybe new to you, but it's still in the Bible. But listen, you want to be very careful when somebody comes out with a new revelation. They're virtually a movement in the last 15 years. What I deem, they call it new fundamentalism. That's ridiculous. Fundamentalism in its very origin is old. You can't have a new fundamental. It is the original stuff. You say, well, we gonna keep singing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know? Yes. Are we going to hear sermons about John 3:16 till Jesus comes back? Yes. Are you going to keep refuting evolution? Yes. Watch out for new things. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through 20, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into fire. Now, do you know that there's nowhere in the entire Bible that teaches anything like purgatory? There are all sorts of people that believe in it. But it's not true. It doesn't exist. Some person and organization decided there would be one. But it's not true. It's a false doctrine, and probably one that sent people to hell for years. Let me give you one more point and we'll be done. I think we separate or want to stay separated from certain behaviors and from cults because cults add doctrines of their own to the Bible. Usually they take a foundation of the Bible and that attracts people, and then they add their own doctrines. I love this. I love what the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. He said, but though we or any angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you that he have received, let him be accursed. When my children were growing up, I'm going to tell you what I said to them. They've all heard me say this at one time or another. I said, Mom and Dad, we go to an old-fashioned independent fundamental Baptist church. What we have taught you in your rearing is right. If ever we stop living right, we're wrong. And the way you were reared is still right. I wish more parents could say that. I wanted my kids to know that when they were in the right kind of a church, using the right kind of the Bible, being taught the right way to live, it was right. And if Mom and Dad put their tail between their legs and give up on the right church and give up on our standards and give up on the Bible and give up on living right, the Bible's still right. And Dad's wrong. And Mom's wrong. And anybody else that changes is wrong. And I wish some people would live in such a way and believe that they could say, kids, if we ever go bad, we're wrong. We're wrong. But God's not wrong, and the Bible's not wrong. And that's exactly what Paul said here. He said, if anybody teaches you something other than what you have been taught purely from the Bible, they're wrong. And Paul said, even if I come back and try to change it, I'm wrong. So, there's a lot of little different twists and beliefs that cults are usually guilty of. I'll repeat them. We'll have a word of prayer. In a moment, we'll be on our way. Most cults will not allow the Bible to be their final authority. Secondly, they usually lift a leader or an organization up above Jesus, God, or the Bible. They usually teach a work salvation. They usually pull people away from the family instead of promoting the family. Usually, they claim special revelation. Usually, they will not teach the assurance of salvation, so they keep people committed to their cult. They want people to be dependent on the cult, not on God. Usually, a cult leader tries to make themselves out to be sinless or perfect or flawless. A cult leader will deny the deity of Jesus Christ. They may claim Christ, but they will not claim him in his purity as equal and a part of the Godhead. Usually, they will not teach or preach the whole counsel of God. They usually make money a key element to where you can buy blessing, you can buy power, you can buy healing, because they want that money to come in. Usually, they have some really weird and off-the-wall beliefs, and they're always adding their own doctrines to at least the start of a biblical doctrine that they found somewhere in the Bible. Oh, there are other things. But let's make sure that we're careful. There's hardly any what I'd call religion on television that I think is pure and right. It's very rare. You hear me say this all the time. The Christian bookstores are hardly Christian. Now, there are some where you can get some good, pure materials, but most Christian bookstores are not that way. Let's all bow our head and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I hope somehow God has spoken to your heart tonight. I hope you've been challenged. Be careful. Be careful what material you read. Be careful what you watch on television. Certainly be careful where you'd ever put your family. Keep yourself in a place where the Scripture is upheld and God and Jesus are always exalted. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, I've been challenged in my thinking. I think I've been reminded of some things, and I think I can use this sermon to help myself to keep me, my family, my future in a pure situation, and to avoid the cults that are out there around the world. And you would raise your hand and say, I think God's spoken to my heart. I've learned some things. I've been challenged. God bless you. And you can put those hands down. We're going to have a brief altar call. If you need the altar, you come. I wish that we would all be solid and grounded and rooted in our beliefs, so that some cult out there would never draw us away. So that we, many years from now, we're still serving God in the right way. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Oh, be careful. One more time through the song, please. Ushers, if you'll have the prayer bulletins ready. Everybody look this way for a second. I'm going to tell you a real quick story and then we'll sit down. I was out soul winning one day, and when I began to witness to someone, it was very, very obvious that there wasn't need of a whole lot of personality or anything to get this done. I gave them the scripture about salvation. I made it very plain, very simple, and very clear. And I said, "Sir, would you be willing to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior according to what the scripture says?" And the man said to me, "I will have to go back and ask my father if this is permissible." And I thought, that is so sad that man could not receive Jesus Christ without permission from his religious leader. How could we ever put anyone above Jesus Christ in the scripture?